I think if there are relatives out there, foster care, they ought to let people know. But ultimately, it's too big a task for just that kind of self-help. We need the government to give us whatever information they have, and then we will start doing what we've been doing all year, which is calling these parents and children.
Do you believe Kirsten Gillibrand lied to Congress? Kirsten Nielsen, the secretary of Homeland Security.
I'm not going to characterize it, but I do not feel we've gotten the whole truth from the administration throughout the family separation policy, and I think there's bombshells still to come.
Legal Alert, I want to thank you for being with us, Deputy Director of the ACLU Immigrants' Rights Project, lead lawyer for the ACLU's national challenge to the Trump administration's family separation practice. Democracy Now! Has a job opening, full-time, one-year paid news production fellowship. Check out democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek. Hello, Alan.
Hello, good afternoon. We made it through another week.
Oh my goodness, barely, but yes, right. We did. Yes, we did. We had below zero weather, we had above 50 weather, and everything in between. So how do you like those apples?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Those snowballs, yeah. We are looking forward to an opportunity to talk about some really important events coming up on campus, including, and not limited to Black History Month. Our college always does just a super celebration of this season, and we'll be joined with Cassandra Fluker in just a little bit to talk about what we've got to offer on that. And you've got an interesting interview coming up as well, yes?
I'm looking forward to it. Yes, indeed. Yeah. We're going to talk about this production of Hamlet. Normally, when we talk theater productions and things going on, we talk about things going on here on the campus at Henry Ford College. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a sort of like de facto Henry Ford College production, but it's actually not going to take place here.
You got it. We are looking forward to having Jerry Jablinski join us on the airwaves a little bit later in the afternoon to discuss that interesting opportunity for you to see some of our own alumni, as well as Jerry himself participating in that production. So it should be fun. We are also going to talk sports a little bit later with Josh. That's always mm-hmm. a blast. And this week there were some kind of fun sporting events going on. Our Vice President of Student Activities and our College President both serve as guest coaches, if you will, for the women's and men's Hawks basketball teams this week. Just a fun little way to promote the athletics program. Josh will talk a lot about that, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. And I kind of feel bad for the athletic directors all around the athletic conference. And to a certain extent, you mentioned Cassandra Fluker. You know, all the events that had to be canceled when we had, 3 days yeah. off in one entire week. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Back days obviously took a big hit here on the campus in terms of events that were happening, and luckily the weather was decent enough for Martin Luther King Day activities. It seems weird that we're talking about things, you know, 3 weeks ago, yeah. Essentially, but it's just been a strange few weeks. But yes, that finally took place this past Wednesday.
Yep. And another thing to note, I think a nice opportunity to share to our regular steady listeners of WHFR. If you're a longtime listener, you probably enjoy our classical programming, which typically airs in the overnights, typically midnight
Correct.
Until 10 a.m. the following morning. Well, do understand if you've been listening these past couple of weeks on and off and you've heard classical programming in daytime hours or in place of another show that you typically enjoy listening to, do know that when the college is closed, when the campus is closed, the administration prefers that we not be here physically because they want to make sure that everyone is safe and secure, as well as the facilities. So oftentimes we want to stay live, so we will mm-hmm. go to a Classical 24, which is a live interpretation presented through Minnesota Public Radio. So while it is via satellite, it is live, and we don't ever want you to think that it's, you know, filler music. It's just too beautiful and amazing to be called filler music. It's really a bonus opportunity, I think, to allow some listeners that don't normally have the chance to listen in the overnights to get a little taste of classical. But that's why we do that during the daytime hours sometime. And if you keep listening, you will see that the following week, if you're looking for your weekly
show, it's back. They'll be back. Yeah. Speaking of classical music, let's turn our eyes to the Dearborn Symphony, who have events coming up. They're obviously in the middle of their 2018-2019 season and have an event coming up next week.
Yes, very excited to partner with them as media sponsors, as always. And they're presenting their classical greats on Friday the 15th. The event starts at 8 o'clock. Performances take place at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn on Michigan Avenue. But we love the 7 o'clock preview. They always do a preview discussion about the music, about the performers, and primarily about the composers in the preview event that is open to the public. If you come in for your... have your ticket to the show, you get to come in a little early. And Jim Walters, I think, is the person that will do those presentations. So we always encourage those and look forward to you coming out. But a few things, we often will have Sandra Butler, our wonderful director of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, or president, I should say, come out to talk with us about the different seasons. But in the 57th season, I learned some things that I never knew about the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
So I'm going to sort of maybe test you, Alan, and see if any of our listeners are going to sort of fall into this and see what we know about the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. Do you know that they regularly stage a pretty large number of musicians for each performance? Can you guess what range of musicians perform at the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra for an individual performance, roughly?
In terms of, so we're incorporating all of the sections here. So we've got what? We've got first strings, we've got second strings, we've got, horns, woodwinds, stuff like that, and then all those big basses and stuff like that over
stuff,
on the right-hand side of the stage.
Very good.
Maybe a little bit of timpani over in a left-hand corner. I would say probably somewhere, if I had to give a rough guess, maybe like 65 to 72.
Oh, my goodness. Perfectly on the dot. You didn't read this, did you?
No, I did not.
I don't think you did.
That was a random guess.
The actual estimation is between 70 and 80 musicians at every single performance, which is, I think, incredible. But wow, very, very good job on that. And what percentage of those musicians are considered paid professionals, would you say? Just to show the caliber of our own orchestra here in Dearborn.
Well, I know that they're obviously, to be on that stage, they've got to be incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. But also, I know how hard it is to be a, working professional musician. Does professional mean paid, or does
paid
it mean
professionals? Yes.
Okay.
Paid
so, but not necessarily that's your full-time job.
True.
Kind of thing.
True.
I would assume that pretty much everybody on that stage, other than special guests, or if they're doing youth concerts and inviting people on stage, probably are getting at least something to be there. So I would go pretty high up on the scale with that.
Are you sure you're not reading the same thing that I've got?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. 95% of the musicians of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra are paid professionals. They are paid musicians, which is, again, astronomical, in my opinion. Just fantastic. And I will just throw out a few facts at this point. Every concert requires 4 rehearsals, official rehearsals, which makes perfect sense. And whose instruments are being used, would you say, by far at the Dearborn Symphony? Who owns the instruments?
My first guess would be that if you're a professional musician, that you're playing your own instrument, that somewhere you've invested probably in a practice instrument, but something that you would use for performance, certainly at higher levels. That'd be my guess.
Yep, you've got it right. Musicians own their own instruments, just like, I'm trying to think of the guitar that famous blues performer.
Lucille.
Yeah, that's right. So everybody has their own Lucille.
There's only one Lucille.
Incarnation
and
of that, right.
Every musician is looking for their Lucille, whether it's a cello or an oboe
or
a
triangle,
French horn,
right?
Or even a triangle, I suppose.
That's instrument, yeah. Okay, a couple more tips, and this is really fantastic. Again, speaking to the caliber, each concert costs about $35,000 to to put on, and just direct concert costs for every aspect of putting that event together. Every concert, about $35,000 to produce it. And that's just direct costs, which is incredible. Do note that also administration keeps their costs under 15% of that. So that's pretty good.
And part of that is understandable. It's not like they're sitting there on the side of, Ford Road playing their instruments. Mm-hmm. There's a theater. There's people who have to operate the lights. There's, the entire apparatus of the Performing Arts Center, the Ford Performing Arts Center there at Michigan Avenue, just west of Greenfield, right?
That's right. That's right. Yep. And music also has some cost factor in it. And we often just think that, all of this stuff is public domain. In fact, it is not. Most of it is not. You have to purchase or rent the music in addition to paying ongoing licensing fees. So that's where a lot of that money comes in as well, which I think is interesting. And they there is a position at the Dearborn Symphony called the Music Librarian. And I think this is fascinating. They procure, distribute, and maintain the music library. And when music is rented, they're in charge of making sure it is used for what it's intended and then sent back so there are no additional costs or fees. So that's got to be a pretty difficult and detail-oriented task to keep track of all that music.
Well, and in most cases, by music, we're talking the actual printed parts or the sheets of music that individual players within the orchestra would have. So if you look at a piece like one that they're going to be performing next Friday at their concert, the Dearborn Symphony, they'll be playing Beethoven Symphony No. 1. The music librarian is in charge of making sure that, whoever is in, the first strings are going to have their parts on their sheet music, cellos, all the way through the orchestra, however it works.
You got it. Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating season. As you mentioned, 57 wonderful years, and this February performance is a great opportunity if you've not seen the Dearborn Symphony perform ever before. Jump in and enjoy this. What a great Valentine weekend event. There's also going to be a performance in March, and then they will have their grand finale in May. But so many other opportunities, as you mentioned, for youth symphony performances, scholarship opportunities, other ways to see this wonderful eclectic group.
Well, and next Friday's show, the first one up on deck, is called Classical Greats. Again, it takes place a week from today at 8 p.m. at the Ford Performing Arts Center there. Jason Altieri is going to be conducting the orchestra. He's music director of the Atlanta Pops Orchestra, associate conductor for the Reno Philharmonic, and works extensively with young musicians as well. The program will include the Overture to the Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, perhaps, appropriate for, Valentine's Day. It's a very lush, exciting piece of music. We'll also be hearing the Petite Suite by Claude Debussy, the Rococo Variations by Tchaikovsky, which will also feature Dmitri Atapin on cello. Mm-hmm. It's a piece for cello and orchestra, and Beethoven's First Symphony will be on the program as well, as we referred to. DearbornSymphony.org is their website for more information and ticket information for the event.
Oh, yeah. And we're always grateful that they allow us to have a table at the at their performances, so it's a way for us to promote WHFR.
Are you going to make me sit at the table, or can I actually go into the auditorium and watch them perform?
You heard him volunteer, folks. He's going to sit at the table. So thank you for that, Alan. And it really is a nice opportunity to learn about our classical programming here at the station. They've been very kind to us over the years, and we want to make sure that we are encouraging you, our wonderful loyal listener, to check out this little gem of a symphony orchestra right in our own backyards. That's pretty cool. We do have opportunities to experience live local music in other ways as well. One of them is the President's Collage Concert, which takes place the following Saturday, a week from Saturday,
and that is
the 23rd. Actually.
23rd, that's
yep.
a Saturday.
That's
okay.
right. Yep. Uh-huh. And that's at 7 o'clock. This will be an opportunity to see eight of HFC, our choirs and bands performing, and under the direction of Kevin Dewey, our musical director. So more information about the collage concert is online at WHFR.FM or HFCC.edu.
Okay, so what kind of music is performed at that?
A little bit of everything.
Yep. A little bit of everything.
You'll have a nice variety. A lot of traditional music, but they do get a little bit modern and have some fun, but not as modern as something coming up tonight.
So we talked talked about an orchestra next week. We've talked about an entire collage of music the week after that. Tonight, WHFR listeners are obviously cordially invited to join us for the Motor City Gems Indie Rock Record Party, which is going to be taking place at the Ghostlight Lounge. Doors are at 8. The show is at 9. If you've heard music from Motor City Gems, our first ever vinyl LP, you know that it is it just sort of runs the gamut of the tremendous amount of talent that we have in terms of musicians that work in the rock and alternative veins here in the Motor City. It's what we've released it a few months ago or so. So we're having another party tonight featuring the Kenny Hill Group, who are featured on the Motor City Gems album. Also, the Dirty News and Labor Day Weekend. Proceeds go to support WHFR, the station making waves. And of course, there'll be a 50-50 raffle giveaways, which will also include vinyl copies of the album. It's at the Ghostlight Lounge tonight. Doors are at 8. The show, the music starts at 9 o'clock. That's at 2314 Kniff in Hamtramck. For more information, you can visit the website of the station making waves, whfr.fm.
That's right, and that's the cheapest ticket in town, $5 admission for all of that live local music.
For I was going to say, for three really cool bands, Labor Day Weekend, the Kenny Hill Group, and the Dirty News tonight. And copies of the LP will be available for sale, and they are $14. You can get all of that information on our website, and again, those proceeds go to help make this station, happen. We're not in fundraising mode. That's going to be in a couple of months, but we just want to make sure you know where that all goes.
Yeah, that classical programming that you get to listen to, it is not cheap, let me put it that way. I know that we've got lots to talk about
as the show
continues, but all this music is making me hungry. Just want to put a little shout out to Dearborn Restaurant Week, which is the week-long opportunity meant to showcase local cuisine in this community. So it takes place, it's actually coming up starting Monday, the 11th through the 17th. So for information on that, DearbornRestaurantWeek.com, and check out some of these local business opportunities to have some nice food and keep it local. That's what it's all about. Just like WHFR.
Indeed. We've got lots to talk about on today's program. I know that we've already covered a lot of territory, but we are just, 1 week into Black History Month, which also means a lot of activities here at Henry Ford College. We talked about this theater production going on at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, a production of Hamlet, which, and we'll talk about this with Jerry Jablinski, sort of like a de facto class reunion for the entire HFC theater program. Josh Hebert will be along to talk sports at the end of the program as well. We do hope you'll stay with us. It is the WHFR Journal here at 89.3 WHFR.FM, where we're always making waves. Stay tuned.
Henry Ford College Theater collaborators are taking the show on the road. HFC adjunct theater instructor Jerry Jablinski is producing a 2-hour modern dress production of Shakespeare's Hamlet, February 8th through 17th at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. The production is sponsored by the Kreft Arts Program in collaboration with the Experimental Performing Arts Association. The play's director, lighting designer, and 6 of the actors are all HFC alumni. Visit cuaa.edu/events. For more info.
This is the WHFR Journal, and welcome. As we celebrate so many things in the month-to-month activities of our airwaves and our communities, we are most excited to be able to talk about the celebration of Black History Month. And I'll tell you, Henry Ford College, it seems like, always does something more unique and more special and more diverse each and every year. That's a lot to live up to, but our guest, Cassandra Fluker, I think is up for that challenge. So we welcome our Director of Student Activities, Cassandra Fluker, to our airwaves. I'm Susan McGraw, and we welcome you also. Thank you for tuning in this February. We are looking forward to lots of opportunities to connect with this campus community. Cassandra, welcome. I know we've already had a few things going on to kick off the month of February, but how's it going so far?
And everything is great. And thank you so much for inviting me, Susan.
Certainly. Still lots and lots of opportunity.
Yes, I know we're a week into Black History Month.
Yes, excellent. We had We had the movie The Hate U Give, which I know has made quite critical acclaim around other populations and other areas. So exciting that it's an opportunity not only for students but people in the community to appreciate. But as we look moving forward, already starting just as soon as this Monday, we've got another film and another opportunity for people to get involved. So tell us about the approach this year, 2019, as the college celebrates Black History Month.
Okay, well, I am glad to see that other departments across the campus are participating in Black History Month. So the film screening that we have scheduled for Monday, February 11th, the Ishmael Library is actually sponsoring that. So they're hoping for a great turnout. It speaks to the Black Panther Party that was out in the 70s out in California and then across the country, actually. And it's going to be great information about Black history.
Okay.
And how they got started.
And that is not to be confused with the popular Marvel film Black Panther.
Oh,
very different,
Susan,
very different kind of film. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're clear on that. And that's again this Monday at 2:30 in the vote room at the library here on our campus. Very good.
Yep. And I'm hoping that a number of students attend the Black Panther filming so they can compare and see that the Black Panthers in the 60s and 70s has nothing to do with 2018 or whenever the Marvel movie came out.
Absolutely. There's only one way to do that, right?
Right.
And that's to actually see this experience. Yeah, well, there you go. And you're right when you talked about other areas on campus doing a variety of things to support and encourage and promote Black History Month. So that really is exciting to see. There is also something going on, again, through the library, and it has to do with reading quite a bit as it relates to the topics ongoing for the month of February.
Yes, yes. This is a national event. And faculty, staff, and students, they have already, I guess, agreed to read excerpts of books, poems, and speeches of writings authored by African Americans.
Okay, and that's this coming Wednesday, 10 o'clock until 4:30, also at the library, at the Ishmael Library. And that, by the way, if you haven't been to our campus in a while, is Building B. So look for the big letter B on the library building, and you'll find us there. And we should mention that all of these events are basically open to the public, to our community.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And they're free. They're free of charge.
Okay.
So we do welcome the community to come and participate and see what's going on at Henry Ford College.
Yeah. I like the fact that we're incorporating some very practical components of opportunities for students to learn more and engage more. We talk about the inequity during Black History Month of African American people historically, but also still today. You know, obviously, we have those issues. And the event coming up a week from, or next Thursday, I should say, a week from yesterday, I think, speaks really strongly to the opportunities that are available. And this deals with the concept of finance and paying for college.
Yes.
Tell us about this one.
Yeah, well, you know, obtaining a college education is very expensive. So for scholarships to be out there and students not being aware of them, that's just a disservice for our students. So this presentation will take place on the 14th, and we have an outside person, Gwen Thomas. She's going to come and present and make students aware of the resources, funding resources, that they can go to and research in order to obtain funding for their education. So this is going to be a very beneficial presentation, and I'm hoping that all or as many students as possible will come and receive this information.
Okay. This one's sponsored by the African American Association. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization? I honestly don't know much about its representation here.
Oh, yeah. African American Association, they have been a registered club here on HFC's campus for a number of years, even before I came on board. So they represent the culture. They educate their students on the current and past events of the African-American experience.
All right, very good. More films to screen, and on the 18th of February, we've got another one at the library, Building B at the library. Tell us about this one.
Oh, Teach Us All. That was about the Little Rock incident in 1957. Let's see, I have seen so many documentaries on this particular incident, but I'm glad to see that the library is showing it. I need to go myself to refresh my memory on what happened.
Oh, there you go. Well, I know when we talk about taking an event from our past, something that is considered historic at this point, and then kind of comparing it to modern day and contrasting what things were like then, what things are like now, that's often a way to see maybe how far we've come, but also how far we still have to go. I'm sensing that this particular film, this particular documentary is going to spur a lot of conversation on that subject.
Yes, it should.
Okay.
Yes.
And again, that's at 2:30 on Monday, February 18th, right here on our campus of Henry Ford College, Evergreen Road, our Dearborn location, of course, Dearborn Evergreen Road location. We love art. We love everything that has to do with art, and African-American artist is absolutely spectacularly, brilliant and beautiful and vibrant. So tell us about ways to connect with that.
Okay, we have a presentation. It's titled In Your Own Voice. It's about African-American artists from the 19th century through present day. This presenter is from DIA, the Detroit Institute of Art. And it's just going to be a grand presentation. She will bring some art for us to see and talk about of how it was presented and how it was put together.
Wonderful.
The artwork.
Go ahead.
Okay. And this presentation is going to provide a lens to examine issues of race, gender, politics, and culture.
Very good. I'm looking up the gal's name. I was reading the press release earlier, so you'd mentioned from the DIA. Her name is Jane Strand.
Okay.
It's Jane Strand who will be coming in. She's a resident of Detroit, as I remember reading, and also has been a volunteer with the DIA for a number of years, and I'm certain will provide a great deal of insight to these pieces
of
work.
Yes, she will. Yeah, she's a dynamic speaker.
Excellent. The True Black History Museum. Tell us about this. We've heard very good things. And again, another opportunity going on right here on our own campus.
Okay. The True Black History Museum. We actually brought this museum 2 years ago to Henry Ford's campus, and it was a grand success. They will be here from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It's just a number of artifacts and documents that represent the historical figures of the African-American community. His presenters like Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, Rosa Parks, the former President Barack Obama, Aretha Franklin, who just passed. We'll have a lot of artifacts representing her, and just so many other prominent African-Americans.
What will people see when they attend this on the Monday, the 25th of February? And you said again, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., so 6 hours to be able to appreciate this. This is in the administration building, Building L. There's a special presentation at 11 o'clock. When we talk about a true Black History Museum, are people going to actually see physical artifacts? Are they going to see, just things projected on the wall? Are we going to be able to actually have, like, three-dimensional connections with these things?
Yes. They're going to be actual artifacts. They can go by. In fact, the curator, he doesn't mind if the artifacts are touched.
Wow.
So, yes, books, historical books, all types of documents, emancipation papers.
Wow.
Old magazines, statues that were used way back. When I can't even to give you a date, but it's very fascinating, and I know I appreciated going through the museum, and I was really amazed at the things that he collected over the years.
Wow, what an opportunity for not only our college students but our campus community and our community at large. Again, so that True Black History Museum, what do they call them, pop-up museums? I think I've heard that term.
Travel museums.
Mobile. There you go.
Use the term mobile.
Okay, very good. And that takes place again Monday the 25th of February from 10 to 4 in the administration.
And there will be a presentation at 11:10.
Nice. Yes. Nice. And I know we're throwing a lot of information at our listeners on the WHFR Journal today, Cassandra, but we kind of wanted to give a sort of a synopsis of all the different things going on so that we can ultimately, have you think about something that sounds most appealing, come onto our website, get some more details, learn more about it, and then ultimately make your decision to attend. So that's sort of the point of kind of throwing all this together. Mm-hmm. That Monday, February 25th, is going to be a very busy day. Tell us about what's going on with a film screening on that particular date as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is in addition to the museum, and the title is Whose Streets? So, you know, the African-American community is dealing with a lot these days as far as being stopped by the police and how to conduct themselves when they're stopped. So this particular film is going to talk about the Michael Brown story, the Ferguson uprising, how it happened, and have dialogue.
Okay. Oh, very good. When we are appreciating these things at the library after we watch a screening, there is an opportunity to chat with others, perhaps afterwards, others that are there, and do they lead like any type of a special discussion, a
yes.
Q&A of
mm-hmm.
sorts?
Yeah. And they talk about their feelings, how they felt when they saw this film and how they felt when it actually happened. Okay. So yes, dialogue does take place.
Okay, very good. And then probably the last big featured event for Black History Month here at the campus of Henry Ford College is a presentation on the 28th of February, at the end of the month, the last day of February, and it's called 400 Years of Struggle. It takes place from 11:10 to 12:30 in the administration building as well. Tell us about this one.
Okay, with this presentation, it's an overview of the African-American experience from the Atlantic slave trade till present day. So they're going to talk about the different phases that African Americans have gone through, and moving forward, what can be done moving forward. So this is like the anniversary.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. Lots of opportunities, as you indicated. All of these activities are free. They're open to the public. We are pleased that you have worked, you and your team have worked so hard to bring some favorites back as well as bring some new stuff into the mix for this Black History Month 2019, Cassandra. For questions from our listeners. Somebody hears something interesting, like, I want to learn more about that. I want to bring my child to that. I want, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. How do they get this information in more detail?
Oh, they can go on our website, whfcc.edu, and all of the presentations, all of the programs are listed. And again, the programs are free of charge. Students, faculty, and staff, they're welcome to bring their friends and family members.
Okay, hfcc.edu.
Yes, and I do recommend a museum if someone wants to bring their children to come and view the True Black History Museum.
Okay, and that's the one that's taking place the end of the month, Monday the 25th.
Yes, from 10 to 4.
Excellent. You often bring in musical groups for other activities. Mm-hmm. I know Globe Fest and
right.
so many others. Do you have a particular favorite style of art or of music or, you know, anything? We don't get to talk to you personally about some of your most interesting, you know, things that you like to be a part of.
Well, I don't have a favorite style because I like all music. Yeah, I really like folk music because it's very relaxing.
Need that at the end of a busy day, huh?
But we did have an R&B concert last week. It featured the Island Guys. So they brought in a lot of old school music. And these students, you know, the 18, 19-year-olds, they heard the music because they heard their parents playing the music.
Mm.
But they really weren't familiar with the artists.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice introduction
right,
for them,
it was
isn't
a nice
it?
Nice introduction.
And a nice treat for us.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for your candid answer there. We do have, again, so many wonderful programs and activities year round. We understand that the MLK Day of Service was a huge success.
What yes,
I heard over
was.
400, 500
yes,
people participated.
Yes, well, volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow. Mm-hmm. What a
so
great
I'm glad
way.
To see that students are getting involved and they're benefiting from the programs that are offered.
Yeah. Well, we can't do it without having those programs available, and those don't happen without your office, the Office of Student Activities, Michelle and you and Mandy and all of those that help contribute to making this
yes.
a wonderful thing. So
mm-hmm.
thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
We appreciate it. Look forward to celebrating Black History Month. As the brochure says, reflect, discover, and learn. And that's what it's all about here at Henry Ford College. We encourage you to stay with us. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw. Along with Cassandra Fluker. Stay tuned.
Lifelong Dearborn resident and HFC alumni, Gary Ciccarelli has illustrated everything from posters of Elvis to U.S. Treasury bonds to Disney posters to superhero trading cards, video games, toy boxes, board games, cereal boxes, Star Wars books, and many other products have featured his artwork. See his personal favorites now through March 15th in the Mackenzie Fine Arts Center's Sisson Art Gallery, located here on the Henry Ford College campus. For more information, including gallery hours, please visit sisson.hfcc.edu. That's sisson.hfcc.edu.
This is the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks for being with Susan McGraw and I this afternoon as we look at events going on in the Dearborn community and here on the HFC campus. But actually, we're going to move our focus a little bit further west and talk about something with some definite Henry Ford College connections. We're all very excited about this new run of performances of Hamlet, Shakespeare's iconic play, which is not taking place here on the HFC campus, but somewhere nearby at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. But there is a tremendous Henry Ford College connection, and we have Jerry Jablinski, who is here. He is the artistic director at the theater there at Concordia?
Yeah, I'm the director of theater at Concordia University, yes, as well as still on the faculty in the theater department and Henry Ford College.
Why don't you sort of walk us through, obviously, your work here at HFC, and then it seems almost like you've sort of put your dream team together of HFC folks in order to be able to pull off this performance of Hamlet. Obviously, it includes a number of people, but many of the notable ones with HFC connections.
Yes, indeed. About a year ago, I floated the idea of doing a production of Hamlet with some of my actor friends, and they were very excited about it. And the main thing we had to do, of course, is get somebody to play that huge, very demanding role of Hamlet. Well, fortunately, Tim Pollack, a graduate of the HFCC theater program, who then went on to study at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland after he left us, was back in town and was eager to do it. When he was at Henry Ford, he played Romeo for me in Romeo and Juliet, and then, of course, continued on in his training. And so I had Hamlet, and that was the key, because you really need someone to play that role.
It is. It's a very challenging role. I mean, you think about, obviously, you know, go back to the 20th century, Laurence Olivier, Kenneth Branagh, you know, I mean, Shakespeare and actors, this, and even centuries before that. It's quite a challenge, right?
Oh, definitely. And that's why I needed somebody who had the skill and the training and somebody that I knew. And I knew I could work well with before I could proceed.
And then, so once that piece was in place, did the rest of the pieces all come together? It seemed I don't want to make it seem like a class reunion here from notable HFC theater folks, but you know, how did you get everybody else on board for it?
Well, that's true in a sense. I've had many students over the 30 years that I've taught at Henry Ford, and the successful ones have gone on to continue their training at other universities. And so I had Amanda Bates, an alum who went on to finish her theater degree at Eastern. I had Andrew St. John, who did not go on to continue study, but was an excellent student when he was with us. I had Jim Pichet, who did many, many productions with us and was also involved in our technical production program. I had Chardet Davis, who went on to Eastern Michigan again. And so I had a core of former students who were eager and willing to join the production. Then I had to look for the smaller roles. And for the smaller roles, I looked at the Advanced Concordia Theater students so that they would get a chance to work alongside more advanced actors on a difficult and challenging project and create a wonderful learning opportunity for everyone involved, but especially for the newer students.
And then there's also a few sort of behind-the-scenes folks with HFC connections. Was it Emily Willemsey and Stephanie Bauer?
They're currently on the theater staff at Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie is the lighting and scenic designer, and so she's doing the lighting design for Hamlet. And Emily did some of the painting and carpentry work for the show.
So Hamlet. Now let me go back through. It's been a long time since Shakespeare class in junior year of high school. I'm trying to remember, and I try to distill it down to as few words as possible. Let's see. Dad gets murdered. Mom marries murderer. For some reason, the son has a problem with that. Complications ensue. Am I close?
Well, that's a very bare bones.
I know it's more complex than that. Yeah.
Well, the big one major piece that was not in there was Hamlet's father's ghost appears to him and tells him that his uncle was the murderer.
Mm.
And you can say, oh, okay, well, you know, he's having a hallucination. He's depressed. He just lost his father. He doesn't like his uncle. His mother remarried very quickly with his uncle. So he's just in the doldrums. But he's not the only one who sees the ghost. Shakespeare is very, very clear about that, right? There's three other people who see the ghost. So it's not just Hamlet's imagination, right? And so now Hamlet's got a huge quandary. And the ghost tells him to avenge the murder. So what does he do?
I assume that's where the complications ensue, right?
And exactly.
There are a lot of people that play the role of Hamlet different ways. How do you think that Tim Pollack is approaching the character? And you know, I mean, what I'm sure you had discussions about, you know, what he feels about him, whether it's Oedipal complex with Queen Gertrude, whether there are, you know, other things. How do you look at that character, and how did you guys sort of work that out?
Well, I'm a very psychologically oriented director. I have a background in psychology in my undergrad degree, and I love doing psychological analysis in terms of characterization. So I kind of looked at it from that point of view. Okay, so imagine this. You're an undergraduate college student away at school, and you get a message that your father has died suddenly, so you go back home for the funeral. About 2 weeks or so after the funeral, your mother marries your uncle. You don't like your uncle. You loved your father. You really admired him. You had a good relationship with your mother, but now there's a problem. And now the ghost appears, and of course, in Renaissance culture, ghosts were something that many people believed in, not just a few. And so how would you feel, right? How would you feel as a young man in that situation, then realizing that apparently your uncle was the cause of your father's death by murder, intentionally? So if anybody can put themselves in that position in their imagination, they have to realize he's in a tremendous psychological inner conflict. What does he do? How does he do it? Right? He can't go to his mother. His mother might tell his uncle.
Right, uncle. I was going to say father, but yeah, father, whatever. Stepfather,
well,
uncle.
You know,
yeah, right,
father,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So approaching it, you know, and looking at it that way, obviously is the, you know, central role in the performance. Obviously, there are a lot of other things that are going on in his life and around him that sort of, you know, make this a truly, iconic, but a truly rich story.
Well, indeed, right. So there's his personal relationship with Ophelia, his fiance, right, that really begins to degenerate as Hamlet's psychological stability and his emotional problems increase. Then We have the political situation. He's not just a common everyday college student. He's also the prince, right? So he's got that dynamic of the court, right? All the officials of the court and the possible implications of any accusations that he might make without any proof. He's got no proof, right? His uncle poisoned his father by pouring poison in his ear, something that at that point in time would not have been detectable. They couldn't run a CSI test and say, oh, yep, he was poisoned with a liquid through his ear.
Right.
So it looked like a natural death, right? And so that was another problem that he had to grapple with.
Now, can I ask you about sort of like how this is going to be staged? Obviously, one of the most, if not the most well-known works of Shakespeare, and of course there are quite a few of them. And when we do Shakespeare in this day and age, sometimes we do it with a modern take. Romeo and Juliet can happen on the west side of New York, or even on a ship across the Atlantic on the Titanic. When I think of that movie, it's Romeo and Juliet on a boat. When I distill it down to words, what is this going to look like? Is it going to be in full, English dress, contemporary, or how did you decide to approach this?
Well, first of all, we cut it from its usual running time, its full length, 3.5 hours,
okay,
to just over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, we have it in a contemporary setting, so people are wearing suits and jeans and T-shirts and clothes like that. And thirdly, we've edited it so that the language is as accessible as possible to the modern audiences so that they can really relate to the characters, the situation, and the difficulties that the characters are undergoing.
We're speaking with Jerry Jablinski, adjunct theater professor here at Henry Ford College, also heralding this production of Hamlet, which is going to be taking place at Concordia University in Ann Arbor beginning tonight. There are a total of 6 performances tonight at 8, tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow at 8, and then a Sunday matinee performance at 2 p.m. And then next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all of the performances at 8 o'clock. More information's available, and tickets information is available at the Concordia University website. I'm assuming lots of legs hopefully going to be broken tonight, right?
Oh, absolutely. The cast is really excited. They're really prepared. So is the crew. And we're happy to make this presentation available to the Ann Arbor, Detroit area.
Now, I want to go back and talk, obviously from your work here at Henry Ford College and obviously, heading to, the Black Box Theater at Concordia University over there. And this connection with Tim Pollack, a fellow Wyandotter. I live in Wyandot, from what I understand.
Ah.
He's a somewhat neighbor sort of what his path has been. And, decided he's the right man for the job, and he can be Hamlet, as I mentioned, a big mantle to live up to. But the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, maybe if you can give us a little bit of information about how someone goes from Wyandot to HFC to Scotland.
Well, he came to HFC originally as a history major because he was very interested in history. But he had done theater, considerable theater, in high school, at Cabrini High School. And so when he started getting involved with the theater department at HFC, he decided to switch his major and really focused on theatrical study at Henry Ford. He jumped into all of the classes, not just the primary ones, but the advanced ones. And he did every show he could, both as an actor and in terms of technical support. And then, of course, after about 3 years of that, because he was going part-time, he said, well, I've got a transfer. I said, well, where are you thinking? And he said, well, I'd really love to go to the school where David Tennant went. And I said, where's that? And he said, that's the Royal Conservatory of Scotland. And so I said, well, great, good luck. He applied, and he got in. He got in, and he spent the next 3 years getting trained there at the conservatory. So he has actually 6 years of theater training, plus some professional experience, both overseas and here in Michigan. And he played Romeo for me. And so I saw that, you know, he could handle major Shakespearean roles.
And that was here at HFC that he played Romeo, correct?
Pardon me?
Was it here at HFC that he played Romeo?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I was going to say we'd be remiss in not talking about things going on in the HFC theater department and what your involvement is there.
Well, I retired as technical director last fall. But I still teach there. This semester I'm teaching directing and stagecraft. We have coming up this semester, The Foreigner, a comedy by Larry Sheery about a man who's very shy, goes to a fishing lodge to get away from it all. And his friend says, well, just tell everybody you can't speak English. Talk gibberish, and then that way you won't have to talk to anybody and you can be alone.
They're
currently in rehearsal for that.
Oh, got you.
Fletcher
okay.
is the yeah. director.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Well, thanks, Jerry Jablinski, for being with us. Once again, if you want to put your plug in for why people need to see this production, obviously we're very proud of all of the work that has come out of the HFC Theater Department, not just on the stage, but as we also mentioned, and obviously if you're working with people who work behind the scenes, that is an entire different aspect of this entire art form, right?
Oh, most definitely, and very, very important one as well.
Excellent. So let's see, tonight 8 o'clock at the Black Box Theater in Concordia University in Ann Arbor, just sort of on the eastern edge, right by 23. You come across Getty's Road and Concordia's there, right?
23 to the Getty's Road exit. That's exactly right. Very easy, right off of 94.
Let's look and see. Tickets are $10, if I remember correctly, for general admission, $8 for students with valid photo IDs, and also senior citizens, students. If you present your HFC ID, can you get in for $8?
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Well, we wish you the best of success. Break some legs, as I mentioned, and this performance obviously begins tonight, tomorrow night as well, and then Sunday afternoon for a matinee, and then next weekend. For more information, I know it's like right up there when you go to hfcc.edu, the college's website. We're definitely letting everybody know that the entire theater program here and your work is doing us proud.
Thank you so much for having me on.
It's been great talking to you. I'm Alan Mazurek. It's the WHFR Journal. Josh Hebert will be up next. We'll talk sports here on the HFC campus when we continue. Do stay with us.
WHFR is having another benefit party, and you're invited. Join us Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight in Hamtramck for our Motor City Gems party. Performing will be The Dirty News, Labor Day Weekend, and the Kenny Hill Group. The Kenny Hill Group, who's also featured on WHFR's indie rock compilation, Motor City Gems, an 11-song showcase on beautiful blue vinyl. In addition to the music, there will also be a 50-50 raffle and station giveaways, including a copy of Motor City Gems. So come out of the cold and join us for some great music and support WHFR and local independent artists. For more information, call us at 313-845-9676 or go to planetant.com and whfr.fm. The Ghostlight is located at 2314 Kniff in Hamtramck. That's WHFR's Indie Rock Party, Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight. See you there.
And welcome back. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. So glad to have you with us this Friday afternoon. And also glad to have Josh Hebert with us for another chat about sports here in HFC land. A lot of things going on. Things are really heating up for the winter sports. And we're also going to start to look forward to, taking the show outdoors in a few weeks, hopefully, if the weather cooperates. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Alan. Wrestling in full swing. They just got done with the Laker Classic. tournament that they are part of just about every year, where we had two champions, a guy take second place, and a guy take fourth place. The two champions were Hunter Liginus at the 125 weight class and Mike Bergmusser at the 157 weight class. And then Dominic Mancina placed second in 174 weight class, and Jacob Georgie took fourth place at the 235 weight class.
Now, we've talked about wrestling before, and this started out as a club sport maybe, what, 4 years ago or
about
so?
About four or five years ago,
that seems about right. And they had a tremendous amount of success as a club sport and then turned into a varsity sport. What do you think, I guess, just tell me, why is this program so successful? It seems like that they really do, and I don't know if it's the coaching, the recruiting, how it works out to have this, you know, I mean, it's hard to get on the map in the first place, but to sustain some success after a few years as a varsity sport.
Yeah, I mean, they have a great head coach in Mr. McKenzie, and I mean, he knows what he's doing wrestling-wise. He's coached high school level, the club level here. He coached over at U of M Dearborn. Both U of M Dearborn and HFC are a combined team. And, I mean, they've just had outstanding success bringing players in to help promote the sport and be on the top of their game.
So, obviously, a lot of success there at the Great Lakes, was it? Great Lakes Tournament?
The Laker Classic. Laker
Classic. And what else is coming up for the wrestling squad?
They have a few more tournaments before they hop into the regional tournament, which will be the North Central District Tournament on February 17th at 11 a.m. That is a Sunday, being held at Muskegon Community College.
I was going to ask you about that, because obviously with a lot of our athletes, there's, you know, significant amount of travel involved. Do we host matches here at HFC, for those who don't know?
Sometimes early in the season, we do host some. We did back, I want to say it was in January, we held the Hawks Invitational. And then after the North Central District Tournament, it is the NJCAA Championships, which will be in March.
Okay, and this obviously is primarily different from, you know, most of the time we think of, you know, the basketball team plays another basketball team.
Yeah.
When it comes to a sport like wrestling, though, you have multiple teams that meet, and you have, you know, large sort of like track or cross country when we think of high school sports.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have one person against another person.
Correct.
Going head-to-head, and, I mean, you're just in the most basic form of competition, one person against another for wrestling, which, even though it's an underrated sport, it makes it for a fun time.
Sure, absolutely, and it's kind of, and you know, wrestling and obviously tennis is probably another one where it is, you know, in most senses, one person against one person to see who's going to win and who's going to lose, right?
Correct. I mean, good luck to everybody on the wrestling team on the 17th and in going forward.
All right. What else has been going on? I know we talked basketball last time, and I can only imagine what the athletic directors all throughout the conference have been dealing with weather closures and things like that, especially at this time of year. Let's just pick it up and say, okay, what do we got coming up? And we don't need to worry about what's been canceled, but what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, both men's and women's basketball team doing pretty well. The women are 2-13, having a little bit of a tough time in their first season back as a varsity sport, but it's a learn on the fly situation, which is what Coach Burton has mentioned to me in the past. They are just going out, competing, learning, getting better every time out. But on the other side of things, the men's team is sitting at 15-7, second place in the division, in the middle of a playoff hunt. Leon Ayers, tremendous basketball player here at the college. I've had the pleasure of talking to him. Great guy. Just an outstanding mindset for him. Already getting looked at by a few higher-level colleges. Some D2s are interested in him. for next season.
And there was an article in the Mirror News that you did with him, a profile or interview that I'm doing with him
for this issue coming out.
I was going to say, was that one out yet, or
yeah,
is that
it's
the
coming
next
out okay. At the end of this month?
Okay,
going to be a great read. Had a nice pleasure of talking to him. Just a great guy. But the teams do play on tomorrow. They face Mott. Mott, in the men's side of things, sit right behind the Hawks in the standings, one game behind. So no,
Mott Community College up in Flint, right?
Correct.
Which is always other than, you know, the Metro Detroit area, one of the big hotbeds for men's basketball, specifically in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, the women's play at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and the men's are at 3 p.m. Going to be a great time. Come on out, support your Hawks. And then if you can't make it to either of those games on Saturday, the roller hockey team is in town for one of the few tournaments that they have here. They play in Shelby Township.
I was going to say, where are they playing now, right? Yeah correct.
Shelby Township at the Joe Dumas Fieldhouse. They have 5 games this weekend. Saturday, they play at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 8 p.m. And on Sunday, they play at 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. at Joe Dumas.
And a variety of different teams from around the area, or is this teams coming in from out of
teams
state?
Teams coming in from all over the place. Dominic was telling me earlier this week that they're actually playing a team ranked second in the hockey area around here. Going to be a great time. They have already made it to nationals. They're registered for that. Going to that again, second year as a program.
And Dominic being Dominic Stankiewicz, who a goalie on
goalie
the team.
And forward for
and
the
correct.
Team.
Okay, very good. And then, of course, I guess once this, snow or whatever it is, becomes sludge and becomes mud, eventually it dries out and things are going to start to move outdoors, baseball and softball.
Yeah, and I do know this. The baseball team is just 25 days away from the start of the season. So softball won't be too far behind that. Going to be a great time. Some of the kids on the team, I know I've coached them in the past, going to be outstanding for both the Hawks and for everybody in the community to come out and see them play. The baseball team plays at Pap Puck in Taylor, and then the softball team plays at Heritage Puck in Taylor.
Now, I know sometimes that the teams will, I don't know if it coincides with our spring break, but they'll head south for tournaments.
Yeah,
quote unquote spring training, I guess.
Yeah. They'll head down to Myrtle Beach like they have in the past. Gonna be a great time. Just come on out and support all your Hawks athletics. They all appreciate it. Coaches and Miss Taylor, the athletic director here, have all mentioned how much the support means to them and means to the players. So we have a lot of opportunities coming up, playoffs for the men's basketball team, roller hockey, the wrestling team getting ready for playoff run. Going to be a great time here at Henry Ford for sports.
Well, Josh, we appreciate you keeping us up to date. We look forward to having you back to tell us how those playoff runs go, and certainly as we move into the spring sports, letting us know how the teams are going.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Excellent. Josh Hebert with us talking about Henry Ford College sports here on the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. On behalf of Susan McGraw and I, we appreciate you being with us for the program this afternoon. We do hope you'll stick around. Kitty Love coming up next for a trip down Highway 61 here on the station Making Waves. We'll be back next week at 1 o'clock with another edition of the WHFR Journal. Thanks for being with us.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.